Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you doing today?
We're doing well.
Isn't it beautiful outside? The sunshine? A little chilly, but it's still a nice day. It's gorgeous out there. How about page 39? And let's stand. Page 39. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful day, Lord, to come to your house to worship you. Thank you for our church, Lord. Thank you for my church family. Thank you, Lord, for providing our each and every need every day of the past week, Lord. You are always there. You give to all of us, Lord. We have enough, Lord. Help us to understand and see that we need nothing more. The best place there is, Lord, is to be there with you. And we're going to be there with you one day, Lord. Help us, Lord, just to be content with what we have and to continue on, Lord, until you come. Thank you for our church, for our pastor. Thank you for his willingness and want to preach the truth from your word, Lord. Help us today, Lord, as we sit and listen to him today, Lord, that you guide our hearts. Be with us as we study in your word. Help us, Lord, to glean something from what's being said today that we can take home, Lord, using our daily Christian lives. And, Lord, if someone today needs you in any way, Lord, I pray that person will get right before they leave. Thank you for our great nation, Lord. I pray for it. Our leaders need help, Lord. Help them to turn to you. Be with our military, Lord, wherever they are. Guide and direct them. Keep them safe, Lord, and bring them home to us soon. Thank you for all, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. 176, please. 176.
Thank you.
Let's see. Tonight, y'all want to go to Walnut Park. Be there at 4:30. There's going to be just a little bit of preaching, and you get a piece of pie. So make sure you're there by 4:30. There is a personal evangelism on the 29th, and there's no service here Wednesday night on the 23rd. If you come by yourself and over here, you'll be by yourself. Agenda items for the quarterly business meeting is due on the 7th of December. Quarterly meeting will be on December the 11th. Pastor's thought for the week is God waiting for you to say thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Enjoy each and every minute with your family. And we don't know what each day brings. Don't forget that. So guys, we're not going to do offering today because of some sickness. So if you have something to give, make sure you put your gift in the plate in the back on your way out. And let's see, what do we got next? Kim is going to lead us in a bit of song.
Thank you, Kim, for that reminder. Greetings to all one and all this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I see a few smiles out there. I see some that are not smiling. But I assure you this, we have every reason to be thankful today. We live in a world that is largely ungrateful, unthankful, has forgot the blessings that God has so richly bestowed on us. But today, I want to tell you, Jesus Christ is the victor. He defeated sin, death, and the devil when he rose from that grave on the third day. And let me tell you something, folks. We may go through troubled times before this happens, but Jesus has won, and he will prevail. He will win. We are on the victor's side. I think we ought to say hallelujah this morning about that. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Anyway, I greet you in his name. Trust everyone is doing well today. We have some thoughts here this morning about Thanksgiving. Of course, this is a week with a day designated nationally to recognize that privilege that we have to be thankful for everything that we have around us and even for the things that we don't have. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "In everything or in all things give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." He's talking to the believers. And if you're with us today and you're not one who has trusted in Jesus Christ, has had your sins forgiven, folks, you won't know true thankfulness till you've experienced that. Because it's a whole difference between death and eternal hell and eternal life. Jesus paid that price for us. That ought to put a smile on every one of our faces today. The title of our message this morning is Thankfulness Blockers. I do have a few things to announce before we begin to preach, but at this time, because this is a time of worship, we're going to take just a few moments here to silently pray before I have a pastoral prayer preceding the message. Let's take this time to prepare our hearts to extol and to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, and prepare again to have our hearts in a mode that shows His worthiness, and that we acknowledge that today and give Him honor and glory. Shall we pray together? Father, we thank You for this day today and for Your grace that yet prevails. I thank You for these few moments now when we could be quiet and quiet our hearts before Your throne. Lord, this is a time of introspection where we look at our walk and relationship with You, and also to present to You our heartfelt proclamation of Your worth to us, Lord, and the worth that You have as Almighty God. We thank You, Jesus, for rescuing and redeeming the lost and those in peril because You loved us. We thank You for that message, the wonderful message of the gospel, the good news that we have, Lord, today because of what You have done for mankind to present. We pray for the gathering now of the church. Lord, that You would bind us together. Lord, that You would hold the enemies at bay. And Father, that You would regather those that may be wandering from the flock or lost and apart from You. We thank You today for every soul that's come into our doors. We pray today, Lord, You would move us and change us through the teaching and preaching of Your word. I pray today, Lord, that You would help me and empower me with what Your servant Paul called the foolishness of preaching. But He also said, in that thing that many believe is foolishness, some will be saved. So we thank You for the proclamation of Your word today and for the power of Your word. Today, Lord, we raise up our congregation. There have been losses today, Lord, in our family and some of those in our midst. Lord, we think of the Ash family today, Tim and Megan, at the loss of his dad yesterday. Lord, we think of others who are ill today, critically, Lord, with physical ailments. But, Lord, we also pray for those that are here or not here because of spiritual ailments. And Father, we ask that You would cure those things, that we would yield to You, the great physician, to cure all of our ills. Lord, again today, my heart goes out to those that are lost and that are not those that have ever come into Your flock. I pray today, Lord, that the message here will cause us, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to be jogged in our thinking, that thankfulness is a great barometer of our relationship to You. And Lord, if there'd be a soul today in this room who does not know You as Lord and Savior, may they understand today, Lord, Your love for us and the fact that this is a gift that is freely given and that can be received at any moment. So, Father, I pray to that end today. Now, Lord, again, many things are going on. We pray for other Bible-believing teaching churches this morning as they proclaim the word as well. And Lord, for our nation and the nations of the world, as again, Lord, You are sifting out the hearts of men before Your judgment seat. Lord, may this be a day that is found pleasing and honoring in Your sight. We extol You and honor You, Lord, as the great God that You are. You indeed are worthy. May You be in our midst today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, just a couple things that I need to clarify before I bring this message forward this morning. We have had some discussion about caroling here. We have received clearance from the Lutheran homes that we can carol. We are waiting on another care facility as well. If anyone is interested in caroling, I'd ask that you meet just briefly today following our morning service, and we'll have some further discussion about that. Also today, as Lonnie mentioned, Walnut Park, 4:30 for our combined Thanksgiving service. This is a very long traditional event, not long in timing at the service, but something that has been done for many, many years here between Fruitland and Walnut Park. Used to be Walnut Street. And so, Lord, we pray the Lord will bless that. And also today, they also asked if you'd want to bring a dessert. You're welcome to do that. So, and if you don't, though, don't worry about it, because I can skip a dessert and you can have mine. And we'll all be better off for that. Also, I have a card here from Larry this morning. Larry, we're so glad to have you two fellowshipping with us. And I appreciate Larry's prayers. He prays with me every Sunday morning, he and Lonnie and I. But Larry just is wishing us happy Thanksgiving. May you all have a blessed holiday. Love and prayers, Larry, Patsy Statz, Starla, and family. So we will put that on the bulletin board, but thank you, Larry, for that greeting. We're thankful to have you here as well. Well, friends in Christ, may I challenge us all this morning on the subject of thankfulness blockers. Now, when you think about the word blockers, what comes to mind? I admit, yesterday I was out working on some things on the farm, and I got pretty chilly about 5 o'clock, so I came in to have a cup of hot coffee with Kim, and we watched some football together. And a blocker is very important in football, right? Well, absolutely, because if you don't have blockers, you won't be able to accomplish your offensive moves or your defensive moves, so that's very important. But a blocker, again, is something that we maybe think about once in a while, and I'll define that later. But maybe for some of you, you've considered blockers in another way. I take a beta blocker. Does anyone know what that is? It's called metoprolol. Maybe some of the rest of you have that as well. What the doctors told me is, you know something, you crazy guy? If you don't slow down, we'll slow you down. So they gave me some metoprolol ER that my heart will only go about so fast, and then I get stopped from doing it. So it's a blocker. But a blocker is what? It's something that restricts or impedes the process of a given thing that's going on. I'm going to bring us this morning, Lord willing, from God's Word, some blockers that cause us to not be thankful. And I think we'll all be able to possibly identify with these, but most importantly, that we'll be able to correct these problems, because I think they'll hit home with all of us. Right off the bat, am I perfectly thankful as I should be? No. And you know what? Some of that is symptomatic of the day that we live in and the conditions that we live in. But folks, we have every reason to be thankful in Jesus Christ. And that's the root of our thankfulness. Even though Thursday is a designated day for Thanksgiving, by the way, check yourself on this, how long this goes as we devour turkey or ham or whatever, pheasant, whatever's on the table before us. It won't be long before what'll begin? Complaining. By the way, don't stick your wife or loved one with the dishes on Thanksgiving. Buy paper plates and plastic utensils. And pass the bag when it's time to throw them out. Folks, it's a sad thing, though. Even on Thanksgiving Day, there will be much complaining done right around the Thanksgiving table. Throw the politics out the door, throw the hatred, throw the bitterness out the door, give thanks. See, this is the problem we have, isn't it? I truly wonder how many of us really know what genuine thankfulness is, and I include myself in that. The majority of us here this morning have grown up in a relatively easy and good time. I think there's maybe only a couple people in here that would remember the Depression era. I won't call them out this morning, but I do. But largely, the post-war era in the United States has been a time of prosperity for people. By the way, there's no excuse for someone to go hungry today in the United States. There is food and help available to everyone, and we need to receive that. But the bottom line is, we haven't come through tough times like a lot of other people have. And the idea that we have had in our generations, the later generations, especially the boomers, is that there's always more and there's better to be had around the corner. Well, that may or may not be the case in the physical sense. We know it is in the spiritual sense with Jesus. But folks, somehow God gets our attention when we're not thankful. And you mark my words, there will be a time come, not far away, when God is going to get the attention of people, especially about their thankfulness. Today is okay, but there's better out there, and I will have it one way or another. Does that hit home with anyone? Well, it surely does with many in our culture today. A dose of reality that moves us out of the category of haves to have not, cannot get. Did you hear me on that? Haves to have not, cannot get, quickly increases the experience of genuine thankfulness. Because when you When what you have is gone and you can't get it back, that does sometimes get people's attention. Talk to a few Depression-era survivors, as I mentioned, that are yet among us today, and you'll get the picture. By the way, we're in November now, but the month of October was an interesting month in 1929 and the years that came right after that. People went from prosperous to destitute. Well, this morning, thankfulness blockers. A blocker is anything that restricts or stops the flow of something. What blocks your thankfulness and mine today and in the days to come? Well, several little key points here that you can jot down. I did not make up a sheet for today, but just listen today. Don't get all shook up about it, getting it all recorded. But if you want to go back, you can listen on the website. But here it is. This is the first one that I bring today. A removal or blocking of God's presence and power in our lives. A removal or blocking of God's presence or power in our lives. Now, here's what I think about this, and I think what the Bible teaches. That our closeness and our relationship to the Lord will correlate with our thanksgiving. You get what I'm saying about that? If you're walking in a close walk with Jesus Christ today, you're going to be a lot more thankful because you're aware of what He's done, what you couldn't do, and how grateful you are that you're headed for heaven rather than headed for hell. And that's the baseline of thankfulness, folks. If you're not thankful for that, you won't be thankful for anything else either. You agree with that this morning? You're welcome to respond to that, whether you agree or disagree or not. But I think that that is a key benchmark thing as you face today and every other day. And by the way, thankfulness is something that should be there every day. But your walk with God will have an influence on your thankfulness level. Now let's go to the scriptures and investigate this. Romans chapter 1 verses, well, let's go to James 1:17 first. Sorry about that. James 1:17 first. And this illustrates what I'm trying to get across here is this point. The Apostle James writes this in James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from what I've done or what others can do for me. No. Where is it from? It's from Almighty God. Did you notice the word there, gift? Everyone likes gifts. Everyone likes to receive gifts, but not all people like to give gifts. God gave us the greatest gift ever. In His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to be the sacrifice for our sins. Hallelujah, praise God. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God's not going to change one iota. His love for you will not diminish. When you've trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you have been adopted into His family, and He will never, 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 and I could go on with dots all the way along, let you go. But you may choose to let Him go, but He will never let you go. But folks, today is the day to get back into fellowship with Jesus Christ, or to get into fellowship with Jesus Christ, and to begin to walk and to begin to be thankful, because this is all a gift from Him. If you have a slice of pumpkin pie, by the way, personally, I'm thinking about pecan right at the moment. But if you have a slice of pumpkin pie, let me tell you that whole thing came from God. Sure, someone had to prepare it, but God gave it to you. There's nothing that didn't come from Him. We have no right to complain because, you know, we don't deserve pumpkin pie. We don't even deserve pecan pie. But I'd even settle for cherry pie, but it all came from God. Well, coconut cream sounds good too. Hey, I think we need to get done here and go have lunch, right? There you go. But folks, the point of this is that the unsaved or saved people that are apart from Jesus Christ, not walking with Him, they will not have a heart of true thankfulness for God. You've got to experience it to have it. Now over to Romans 1:18. And we'll just illustrate this briefly. Romans chapter 1, verses 18. Now again, Romans chapter 1, Paul gives a treatise here about what really is going on in the lives of people. But here's again why we ought to be thankful and why we need to recognize this, because what the symptoms are when people don't recognize the God of the Bible, one of the first ones that will be displayed throughout the Word is they are not thankful. For the wrath of God, Paul writes here, Romans 1:18, or God's anger is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness or suppress the truth. What God's talking about here is he loves people, but he's angry, again, about the hearts of people that will reject his truth. He is angry about that. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. Going back to our principles here with the pumpkin pie. You may devour a slice of pumpkin pie, but if you don't recognize that came from Almighty God, you've made a big error. Everything comes from him. That's what we found there in James 1:17. Because when people could have known different and rejected God, when he had showed his goodness to them, he showed it through the creation. He says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power. Folks, are you thankful today that God has showed you through the creation that he exists? He does exist. It's a beautiful world. I told you yesterday I got chilly when I was out grading some gravel and working with some equipment, and I had some troubles. And the boys had a lot of troubles on the farm yesterday with different things too. But you know what? When I looked around at the power of God at work, I think the wind blew 60 miles an hour yesterday. It almost knocked me over. And you know how much ballast I have. A few gusts came up. I thought, I might go over here. When we see what God's given, by the way, how would you like to live in darkness all the time? Well, we'd have a high electric bill, wouldn't we? But think about it. God gave us everything perfectly set for what we need. Sure, man messed it up when we fell in some respects, but God's still sovereignly giving us all these things. By the way, thank God for him. Now let's go on and see what this is. So what Paul's saying here is we're without excuse for not giving thanks to God and recognizing him. But here's the kicker. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were, read it to me, class. They were not thankful. Could that be said about any of us in this room today? They were not thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. You can read the rest of this text here. But when people depart from God, thankfulness will be one of the first things that's an evidence. Or when they reject the God of the Bible, you will no longer be thankful. You can read that through verse 32 in your own, but that's the first one, a removal or blocking of God's presence and power in your life. By the way, if you're here today, apart from Jesus Christ, or you're a believer that's struggling in these areas, there's help today. It can be fixed today. God even works on Sunday. It can be fixed today. By the way, this week, if you're struggling with it, it's a good time for reconciliation. It's a good time to be reconciled to God, even as a believer of the areas you've strayed from. Maybe you've taken for granted his goodness in your life. By the way, even though probably all of us have problems here today, it could be what? Are you thankful for that today? Second point today. This is the second blocker, an acceptance of a me-first attitude of self-love. When you are concerned about the love of self or what is directed toward you, you will be using that time to not direct it towards God in thankfulness. 2 Timothy 3:1 through 5, if you'd like to turn there. But folks, this type of an attitude is not biblical. It's not God's will for you and I to be all about us. Just a simple thing this Thursday when you sit down to eat the meal, go last for a change. Take a small portion if you are early in the line so that those that come later will have enough to eat. And cooks, make enough so people can eat. That's one thing I've always said at our house. If you come out to do something at our house, you always have all the water you can drink. I'm kidding. Many years ago, well, I got to be careful what I say. But many years ago, I went to help some people, and it was a hot day. We were working on a roof, and came middle of the afternoon. You know, I was pretty hot and pretty dry, and you need a little snack in the middle of the afternoon. I even told Kim yesterday, get more snacks on hand here. I said, do you have a cold Coke? How many of you like to slam a cold Coke when you've been hot? Elaine, I would never thought that of you. You do? Yeah. Now, I'm slamming the diets now, diet Cokes. But anyway, they didn't have, I want to use my farmer talk. They didn't have nothing in that house. And here we are out there, have enough to eat. If you can. But if there isn't, make sure everyone gets to eat. You go last. Because people are selfish. It's about us, not about God. By the way, just so you know this, self-love has evolutionist roots. Survival of the fittest. But that's not what God says. God says we're to defer to others. Put others first before ourselves. All through Scripture. Well, let's go to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, and you're already there. I know. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. Paul writes to young Timothy here, the young pastor. He says, you better get ready for what's coming, buddy. Because, and by the way, pastoral ministry is not a cakewalk. It'll tear you up and spit you out. I encourage some people here, maybe God's calling you in the ministry. But you also ought to know, and especially in the day we live, which is an extension multiplied of what Paul's telling Timothy, it can be very rough. You have to walk with Jesus Christ and trust Him. So Paul says to Timothy, this know also that in the last days, perilous times will come. Fast, furious, and fierce. You can put a little mark in your Bible. We're living in them today, folks. It's fast, it's furious, and it's fierce. Do you agree with me on that? That's the day that we're in. He says it's going to come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. By the way, take note of these words that Paul lays out here. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents. There it is again. Unthankful. Unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers. I could preach a message on all these words. You can look them up. Of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. There it is, folks. People are into themselves. And they're not thankful unless it revolves just around what they want and how it needs to come down to them. And folks, that is the culture we live in today. Fast, furious, fierce. Mark that down. It's our modern culture. It's the idea that I've done it and I deserve it. And folks, that does not line up with Scriptures. And it is a thankfulness blocker. And it is something that all of us struggle with. I'm confident in saying that today. All of us. The third thing, and it fits right along with this, but it's a prideful heart. A prideful heart is connected to the one that we just looked at. But folks, we know this, that pride is a dangerous thing in the lives, especially of a believer, but of people. The Bible rightly says that pride goeth before a fall. And a haughty spirit before destruction. Folks, pride is being introverted and focused on ourselves and our accomplishments. But you know what? Jeremiah 17:9 says, it's Isaiah 64:6 says this, that all our righteousness are as filthy rags. We need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded of what what the Bible tells us, that even at our best, we're still unprofitable servants. Humility, folks. Retrospection about how we are before God. We have nothing to stand on but on the power and blood of Jesus Christ. It's all by what He's done for us. Pride. A prideful heart. Arrogancy. Arrogancy bothers me a lot. You know, we can all become arrogant about things, but it's the root of it is in pride. By the way, pride is the root of all sin. Lucifer fell from heaven because of his pride. He said, I want to be like God. Arrogancy. Romans 12:3. Arrogancy and pride are thankfulness blockers. Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. Paul does some big teaching here in Romans chapter 12, but here's what he has to say in verse 3. For I say through the grace given unto me. By the way, Paul was a guy who was arrogant and filled with pride till what happened? Till he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. He saw the light, and he was what? He was changed. By the way, if you're here today apart from Jesus Christ, you will be changed when you meet Jesus Christ. If you'll allow Him to change you, you will be changed. You'll be transformed. Your thinking will be changed. You become a new creature in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Things become different. They become new. If you want something new today in your life and you're apart from Jesus Christ, He's the only thing that'll satisfy that need. And He can be found today, even on Sunday, even at church. Here it is. For I say through the grace given unto me, Paul recognized he was thankful for God's grace. He should have been struck down for what he did to the Christians, what he did to the Lord. By the way, be careful what you do with God's church and with God's people. It's a warning. But here he says, not to think of himself more highly. I say unto every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Paul says, think seriously about your situation and what God has or may do for you. It's not about us. Enough said there. Prideful heart, arrogancy, are thankfulness blockers. The next one, a focus on receiving rather than giving. All these, again, are associated with self, once again. But I mentioned earlier, I've never seen anyone that didn't want to receive a gift, if it was truly a gift. By the way, what is truly a gift? It's something with no strings attached, right? Absolutely. Now, should I repeat myself this morning about my brother Dave? Does anyone remember that story that I told? I went up there, I was very splendiferous in my gift giving one year. I gave him a $10 gift certificate to Farm and Fleet. I went up to the door. I said, here, Brother Dave, I love you. Enjoy this certificate. By the way, was my heart really right? Well, you don't know that, and I don't, but I can tell you, well, I do, because it wasn't. I should have given him 20. I should have said, I wanted to give you more. But anyway, old Dave at the door. Woody, you're smiling a little bit here because you can hear the whole thing take place probably. He said, what did you do that for? Now I've got to give you something. I think we have some problems in the Brown family. At least I'm part of it. I said, Dave, it's a gift. You don't have to give me anything. We like to receive things, but in many cases there are strings attached. Jesus attaches no strings, and we ought to be thankful for that. He doesn't have a gimmick. He isn't like Maynard's that offers you 11% off, but withholds the cards till after you could have used them to get 22% off. Lonnie, have you ever thought about that? I could probably get, well, I'm fine with jail food, but what I've found with Maynard's is the rebate's going off on Wednesday. If you've had cards that or rebates you've sent in, you won't receive those till after that. You watch about next week. Because otherwise you get what? You go in and buy merchandise with your card, and you get another 11% off. That equals 22% in Wilton mathematics. There's strings attached to everything. You go to Casey's for the Casey's rewards. You're paying more for the products. You're not getting anywhere with any of that stuff. But with Jesus, it's the genuine thing. A focus on receiving rather than giving. That's a blocker. Acts 20:35. Back up one book here. Acts 20:35. Here's what God's word has to say about this, recorded under the hand of Luke. I have showed you all things, how that laboring you ought to support the weak. This is Paul writing this, by the way, spoke this. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to receive than to give. No, Ginger, no. See it? It is more blessed to give than to receive. Folks, you'll know what's going on here about your thankfulness level if you're struggling with that. And let's come clean about it, folks. We all struggle with it. Well, I think we do anyway, but I think it's part of our brokenness, our humanness. But it isn't right. It isn't right, and it's an indicator again of that very thing. The fourth point this morning, and we're nearly done. There's even a possibility we'll be done early. Here it is. This is not hard hats. I'm saying hard heads, hearts, and chips on the shoulder. You know, God has a way of knocking chips off of our shoulders. Do you know what a chip on the shoulder is? It's a grudge. It's a grudge. But hard heads and hearts, by the way, you want to talk about hard-headed people? Look at God's people, Israel. They had a heart of stone, God told them. They were untouchable. Folks, I can guarantee you in our culture today, and probably right in this room, there's hard-headed people, and you're looking at one. Now, you know I have some German background in me. Germans are notorious for being hard-headed. But like I always say, I'm not as hard-headed as the people at Durant. That's a real German community. It used to be. I don't think that stuff even matters much anymore. Bottom line, we got hard hearts. Hard heads and chips on the shoulder. You know what? I believe this. A chip on the shoulder is another term that we could use for bitterness. And I'll tell you, God may knock that chip right off your shoulder. He has ways. The other thing about this, folks, hard-hearted, hard-headed people, people with chips on their shoulders are unhappy people. And let me just say this, there's a lot of bad attitudes out floating around in our world today. There could be some even in this room today. I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians 4:7 to start with. Again, I don't want you to wear out your Bibles this morning. I'm just having fun. There's kind of an interesting verse here from Paul. Paul says this, he asks a question. He says, "For this is 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who maketh thee to differ from another? Well, God does. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive?" He's thinking about God. Again, where'd it come from? Now if thou didst receive it, why dost thou glory as if thou hadst not received it? People don't give glory to God. The good stuff we have, we still don't give him glory about. We act like it, we never had any. You know, I've told you this before. You get tired of this. You know, after as long as I've been around here, my taglines. He ain't never done nothing for me, referring to God. Don't be a fool. He's done it all. People have hard hearts. Proverbs 28:14. Maybe that's the case here today. Maybe we know it's the case in our world today around us. Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs 28 and 14. Proverbs 28, 14. Notice what this says. Happy. Don't raise your hands today, but you can tell me at the door. Pastor, and don't put a fake smile. I'm happy today. Pastor, are you happy today? I'm struggling. But here it is. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief, it says in the King James Version. Happy. If you're happy today, you will have a heart that is thankful. Unhappiness and bitterness, again, are signs and are blockers of our thankfulness. Last turn on this one, Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, 32, my mom's favorite verse. But notice what Paul writes before that verse. By the way, he's talking to us all about our grieving of the Holy Spirit. But he says this in 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamoring and evil speaking be put away from you with all, and there's another interesting word, malice. I'll get them. I'll keep track of all the things, and I'll get them. Why not today lay it down? Ask forgiveness. Move on. Leave it in God's hands. Stop being bitter today. It's Thanksgiving week. You know, I've even seen people fight over Thanksgiving Day. I've seen families quarrel about times that Thanksgiving was set for. Battles in families. You know it. I'm not telling you anything new. What a mess we are. And then he says, and be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. This is Thanksgiving week. It's a good week to lay down the weapons. It's a good week to forgive and be kind to one another because Jesus did that for you. How can I hold a grudge against someone when God didn't hold it against me? You want me to go on that any further? Two more points. Here it is. See if this strikes home with anyone. Lack of contentment. A restless spirit. No satisfaction. And no, I'm not talking about Mick Jagger. I can't get no satisfaction. But folks, we have a problem in these areas. It'd be a lot better if only you insert what comes there. Folks, we are not content. I told you the story many times of my Grandma Robinson. They moved, I think, 13 or 16 or 17 times in a matter of just a few years. Grandpa Robinson was working for the Rock Island Railroad out on the bridge and building crews. Sometimes he was gone for 2 weeks at a time. Several times he came home on a Friday evening after being out on the road for 2 weeks, Grandma Robinson had moved to a different house. Larry, what would you think of something like that? I told you before, we'd go down to see Grandma Robinson, 608 East 11th Street. That's where she lived in the later years. Door would be locked. She'd have a note on the door. Went to Bishop's at Davenport for a piece of pie. Took the bus up there. I have some of Grandma's genetics. By the way, Grandma had a lot of good stuff to say. You know, you've heard, she always, you know, the one I use a lot, if you get thick, you'll get thin. You can think about that. A little bit too, pretty profound. Grandma was never satisfied. And you'd also know there was more to that story. She and Grandpa had an axe to grind. They got started out on the wrong foot. Grandpa got saved after he got cancer. And the last year or so of their life, they were two Christian people together. See, that brings tears to my eyes, but that's what happens. See, when people lay this stuff down and give it to God. But anyway, there's a lot of people that are restless. They're just not satisfied. And I told you that I struggle with that as well. And also along with that, covetousness. I wish I had you insert into that blank. Hebrews 13:5. We can probably quote that. When I get all riled up, sometimes I don't quote things right, so I'll read it. Hebrews comes right before James 13, toward the end of the chapter, and verse 5. Hebrews 13:5 says this, "Let your conversation," in the King James, that's your way that you live, your lifestyle, "let your conversation be without..." It's a thankfulness blocker. "And be..." Didn't Borden Milk used to have... Elsie, is there... By the way, the Borden Milk Company, there was an interesting story. Bill Borden was a Christian man, got saved. You can look that up sometime. It no longer exists. There's still the trademark. But it wasn't the Borden Dairy that we used to know, some of us that are older as kids. But what was their tagline about their milk? Milk from contented cows. Lily, you remember that even. Thanks for admitting that today. Contentment. Contentment. "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." That's the bottom line thing again. If you have Jesus, you don't have to worry about all this extracurricular stuff. You're going to make the destination because of him. But stop coveting and be happy with what you have. In fact, in my case, be happy with less. Amen. Dave, I appreciate that. We know what we're talking about here, don't we? Amen. Bless you too, brother. And then 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12. I'll stretch this out so you get your money's worth. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12. I'm just having fun. 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 12. "But godliness with contentment helps. Great gains." "For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out." Stuff isn't important unless it's used for God's glory, Pastor John. Now, Kim must be down with the kids, but she'd be telling me this. Yep. "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content." This is the baseline teaching of God's Word. Food and clothing are all we should expect. I believe every one of us here has more than that this morning. But even if you don't, be thankful and be content and wait on God. Because a lack of this is what? It's going to block your thankfulness. It's going to block your thankfulness. Now, where did I leave off here? Where was I again here? Nine. Yes. "Let not a widow be taken into the number under 80 years old, having been the wife of one man, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if you have lodged strangers, if she have washed the saints' feet," this is not the point of this, but it goes along, "if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work." Now, I don't know why I put those in there today. It does fit, though. That's why I didn't put those in there. Do you realize how faulty I am up here? I need you folks. Now, where did I leave off, Faith? Verse 9. "But they that will be rich fall into temptations and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition." Let me say this, if you're trusting in your riches today, you better watch out, because they're still God's stuff. And who he gives to, he can also what? If there is a reason for that to be. "For the love of money..." Well, I don't think that's... I heard it's just money is the root of all evil. No, no. Paul says the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Folks, the lack of contentment, restless spirit, no satisfaction, covetousness are blockers of our thankfulness. Last point. Bad experiences of life. Did you think I was going to include that this morning? But Pastor, I've had a lot of... Yeah, well, we've all had a lot of trouble. Some less than others, some more than others. It's called life. We live in a broken world, in case you didn't know it. It's not supposed to be easy. That's a lie of Satan. He says everything's going to be smooth like a lake. It's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. But cheer up. Be thankful, because I've overcome the world. Amen. The bad experiences of life, I understand that for the unbeliever, for the one that does not know what the Scriptures say in totality about these things. But folks, I come back to a base verse. It's called Romans 8:28, which says, to believers, and we know, and to non-believers, to consider this, and we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. Meaning what? Nothing truly bad happens to the believer. But Pastor, all kinds of tragic... Leave it in God's hands. Let Him close the book. Is it hard? Sure, we lose a loved one. We go through many experiences in life, and they're hard. But folks, God says it will be for good. Are you going to believe Him? Are you going to rest in that? Because if you rest in the bad experiences of life, oh, someone hurt my feelings. Should they have done that? No. But you know what? God's going to grow you through that. He will change you through. And don't worry about other people. God will take care of them. And then we come back to this base verse that we started out with today, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I believe it's written to believers, but it's a challenge for unbelievers today. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There is good even in bad with Jesus Christ. And folks, I just touched the tip of the iceberg today, but I guarantee you these are things that will cause us to consider our lack of thanksgiving. Here's the conclusion. Thankfulness blockers, get me on this, are spiritual problems. In the saved or the unsaved, God's Word and the Spirit can and will change our blockers into blessings. Write that one down. I could have used that for a title. Blockers into blessings. If we will submit and allow ourselves to be transformed or changed. Thanks be to God who will change us today. He'll transform us if we'll submit to Him. I challenge us to count our blessings and see our thankfulness levels rise. Don't focus on what you don't have. Focus on what God has blessed you with. A personal walk with Jesus through yielding and receiving the gift of salvation is needed for those who are unsaved. Repentance and confession for the saved that are backslidden from the Lord will get your thankfulness level back up to specs as well. By the way, the Bible says our joy and thankfulness should be overflowing. If you don't see your life in that perspective today, there are ways that that can be fixed that I've just illustrated. Aren't you thankful that through Christ there is help and hope? And it's available even today on Sunday. And you'll never get a busy... God does not have a firewall built around Him so you can't contact Him. His number's still in the book. His name is Jesus. Go to Him today. Get it right so you can really celebrate that day that we set aside to give thanks genuinely. But folks, the truth is every day is a day to give thanks. Well, here's to a great Thanksgiving for all of you. I hope you celebrate it, but celebrate it in Jesus Christ. I'm done yakking, Amen. Let's take our hymnals and stand if you're able. Page 40. You know, the gathering of the church is a wonderful thing. This song alludes to that. It's a Thanksgiving song. But what a great day that'll be when we're all gathered together in eternity with Jesus. Amen. Yeah. His goodness will be ever with us. Help us, Lord, on these days that we live on this earth. By the way, today, if you need Jesus Christ, if you have questions, I'm glad to show you in the Scriptures. I can't save you. But you just mentioned to me at that back door, you can come forward. This is a time to do that. Also, if you have questions or need someone to come alongside you as you struggle through something in life, I'm glad to be that person, and there are others here as well that would do that. I may need to come to you sometimes for things too. Lord will help us, I know that, and He'll do it immediately. We gather together. Again, we're going to sing the last stanza of this song today. How is your thankfulness level? What's blocking us today from Jesus Christ? And I trust today that before we leave, there's one last opportunity that we can set the wheels in motion to truly be thankful. Lonnie, would you dismiss us, please, in prayer?
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us, Lord. Every single thing we have, Lord, is only because of you. Mainly, Lord, thank you for our salvation. We know that we'll be with you one day. Thank you for the day of salvation, Lord. Be with us as we celebrate on Thursday, Lord. Help us remember you and all that we do that day. Thank you this time now. Please take us home safely.
Up there by Kay's Dove this morning.